views and opinions expressed on this show or any other show on Hornco Radio Network are not necessarily those reflective of Hornco Radio owners, affiliates, or local sponsors. Any hurt feelings or mixed emotions infringing upon the DC movement should be referred to Hornco's Human Services Department, which can be reached at blah, 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 to which time you will be told to shut it. On behalf of Hornco Radio Network,
I would like to take this time now to thank you from the bottom of our blackened souls. Thank you!
Ah, it is so good to see you again, sir. I see you have brought your friends with you this time. Very good, sir. Would you like your usual table? Right this way then, sir. Please follow me.
Who are we kidding? We're not that stuffy.
I knew I was being threatened. Do you think it's worth holding out? I mean, I've heard some pretty ugly things about those guys. Ugly stories.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Politics Cafe, where we sit down and discuss anything and everything. No holds barred. Bring any topic to the table. We don't care. We'll discuss it. Come on in. Sit down. Take a load off. Now, the host of the show, Mark.
Hey, and there we are. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and fellow conversationalists around the world, and welcome once again to the Politics Cafe at www.herncode.com, the best in internet talk radio. The Politics Cafe is a small cafe located on an isolated stretch of the information superhighway, where we get together once a week and grill up some fresh topics for your digestion. And fresh topics aplenty we have tonight, folks. And a little bit of a talk here tonight. It's, I want to welcome everybody to the show here. Welcome a couple new people to the room. Shona from, over in the United Kingdom. My old buddy C. Duncan is back here tonight from Scotland. Good to see you. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to folks over on Facebook whom I've been having quite a conversation with the last couple of days and who I hope, are listening tonight. Yeah, at least I put a hell of an ad over there on over on Facebook tonight. We'll see the kind of response we get. But I'll tell you what, folks. I got an article to start off here with tonight, and a little preface to the article. This is about the upcoming legislation to reform Wall Street, and a lot of Republicans are out there blocking it at this point in time. Matter of fact, let's get to the article here. So we got to, and it's important that I get started. All right, this by Jim Coonhen, an AP writer. Which, by the way, don't forget the usual disclaimer here, folks. All articles read on this program are for informational, educational, or discussional purposes only. Don't think about suing me. I ain't got nothing. You ain't going to get anything. It's that simple. And don't you want your word spread? Don't you want to hear the good word that you have out there getting a free boost? At any rate, undaunted by a Senate setback, Democrats appeared increasingly able to take advantage of Americans' anger at Wall Street and push through the most sweeping new controls on financial institutions since the Great Depression. The Senate, in a 57-41 vote, failed to get the 60 supporters needed to proceed on the regulatory overhaul. One Democrat, Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, joined with the Republicans. But the evening vote was just part of a legislative ballot-keeping bipartisan, and the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid switched his vote to no, too. But that was just a maneuver that will enable him to call for a new tally as early as tomorrow. Democrats believe that public pressure, scent of a Wall Street scandal, have given them the upper hand. Republicans themselves have taken up the Democrats' Wall Street bashing rhetoric and have voiced hope that a bill will ultimately pass. In that light, the path to final approval seems clearer than it ever did during the contentious debate over health care. The financial overhaul bill is a priority of President Barack Obama, and after health care, its passage would build on his legislative successes. An important political consideration in an election year. The House has already passed its version of new bank regulations. Less than an hour before the scheduled vote, the White House issued its official endorsement of the bill, saying Obama would oppose any loopholes. Following the vote, the President said he was deeply disappointed and urged senators to put the interests of the country ahead of the party. Some of the senators may believe that this obstruction is good political strategy and others may see delay as an opportunity to take this debate behind closed doors. Why our financial industry lobbyists can water down reform or kill it altogether, Obama said in a statement. But the American people can't afford that. Both the House and Senate bills aimed at heading off any recurrence of the near collapse of the financial system in 2008 would create a mechanism for liquidating large firms that get into trouble, set up a council to detect system-wide financial threats, and establish a consumer protection agency to police lending. The legislation would also require investment derivatives, blamed for helping precipitate the near meltdown, to be traded in open exchanges. Senate Republicans have been solidly opposed to the legislation so far, but Democrats are determined to force them to block the bill time and time again until their unity cracks. I don't think it's a tenable position for the Republicans to be in, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said. And Reid mocked the Republicans' cohesion. As far as I can tell, the only thing Republicans stand for is standing together, he said. Richard Shelby, the top Republican on the Banking Committee, said Monday before the vote, most Republicans want a bill, but they want a substantive bill. The Alabama senator has been negotiating with committee chairman Chris Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut. Shelby aides said he wants to tighten language that he believes would give the Federal Reserve and the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation too much flexibility to assist large banks and their creditors. Shelby also wants to restrict the rule-writing powers that Dodd would give a Consumer Financial Protection Bureau within the Federal Reserve. Well, that, folks, is it. I can't go on with any more of this because it's just a farce. All of this is a farce. Do I blame the Republicans for holding it up? No, because all they're doing is waiting for something that they think is going to work. All right? Are the Democrats doing anything that's making any sense here? No. None whatsoever. All right, folks, what they are doing here is slapping a Band-Aid on a big, huge, oozing, seeping wound. All right? They have got to get back here. They have got to look at their premises. They have got to understand what they have created. All right? And I don't mean just the Democrats on this. I mean mankind in general. Now, look, I got to get off on something to talk a little bit about things here tonight, folks, because there's an insanity that has pervaded this republic for the last 80 years. And this insanity is going to, it has reared its ugly head. It is a huge zit. All right? This is a zit that is sitting in the middle of the forehead of Paul Bunyan. That is what you have got going on here. It is a monster. The closer you get to the zit and look at it, the more horrified you are by the thing that you see. Because you know that this ain't one of them ones that's just going to go away by slapping some Neosporin on it. That ain't going to work. No, this zit is going to pop, and it's going to pop at the worst possible time, and it's going to leave pus, blood, and destruction everywhere. There is just no getting around it. And the problem with it is, folks, it isn't Wall Street, okay? It isn't the American people. It isn't the banks. It isn't, anybody out there that you know. The fact of the matter is, it is a huge mistake that has been made, and this mistake has been made by all of mankind. And it is because mankind has accepted a premise, and it is a false premise. And I'm not just here to call out a falsehood tonight, and I'm not just here to prove it to you by talking to you. I'm going to show you how you can prove this to yourselves tonight. This is it's just plain old foolishness that we have engaged ourselves in. All right, it goes back for a long time. But what is going on here, folks, is the fact that we have taken and monetized debt. All right, now you must understand something, that a debt is a promise. That is what it is. It is a promise of some future payment. All right, and when you have taken your money and you have disembodied it from being anything in real, anything whatsoever, and you have made your money nothing more than debt, you have started an avalanche. That's all there is to it. You can say, look, folks, and we have done this as mankind. And I want you to all stop and think about this. This all started back in the early 1900s because people were into the whole thing of writing notes of debt. All right? Huge ones. They were buying up chunks of property with notes of debt. They were buying up chunks of corporations with notes of debt. All right? It's like this, folks. You got to understand something, that we have built a pyramid. Now, this is not a pyramid that is sitting like one of the pyramids over there in Egypt. All right, it's got a big, big, huge, wide base that is sitting on the ground, and then it gently slopes inward until it comes all the way up to the top to a point. Because the tear down that pyramid there, you would have to get start at the top and start pulling every single one of them stones down one at a time, screw them all over the place before you can say effectively that you have destroyed the pyramid. Now, what we have here is a pyramid that is upside down and sitting on its point. I want you to stop and think very carefully at the vision that I'm trying to paint for you here, because this pyramid that is sitting upside down and on its point only needs to have one or two of the bricks on the base of it or anywhere in it whatsoever to throw it out of balance, and the whole thing will come crashing down. All right, when you have notes of debt that are being used as currency, which are backed by other notes of debt, which are backed by other notes of debt, which are in turn backed by other notes of debt. And you can call these notes of debt bonds, you can call them securities, you can call them investment vehicles, you can call them anything that you like. All right? They are indeed, in fact, nothing more than notes of debt. They are promises. Now, as we all know, that once in a while, through no one's fault whatsoever, promises end up getting broken. They do. That's just the way there is to it. I mean, sometimes people don't live to fulfill their promises. Sometimes natural occurrences come along and just wipe out the chance of anyone ever making those promises. A lot of the problem we have right here today, you know, what accelerated these problems and brought them to a halt was indeed, in fact, Katrina, as I have talked about over this quite a few times. You know, the big, large mortgage corporation problems that were going on out there, the failure of those bulk mortgages, of the bundled mortgages and the derivatives and other things that were all written behind them, all right, was indeed, in fact, due to quite a bit of the people in Louisiana walking away from their mortgages. As we all know, and everybody can tell you, money is created when there is debt created. And folks, I'm here to tell you that it, given the right situation, someone will always be able to talk someone else into making a promise. That's what goes on here. All right? Or there will always be some people out there promising things that they know they can't do. And they will get away with this as long as you allow them to make promises. Now, people are saying, well, geez, Mark, isn't that what they're trying to do here with Wall Street now? Stop them from making all these promises? No. All you're doing is stopping them from making promises of a certain description out there. It will not stop them from finding new and ingenious ways to make promises. Trust me. Look, you are slapping a Band-Aid on a huge wound here. All right, that's all there is to it. And what the result of all this has been, in the end, has been our fiat paper currency. All right, by the word fiat, I mean exactly the dictionary definition of it. It is by proclamation or by demand. It is basically the law that that is money. The fact of the matter is, though, it is not money. All right, money, by its definition, is a substance that is used for exchange. Now, there are those out there in your modern colleges and your universities out there that will tell you that anything that is used for a trade exchange can be considered money. Well, no, it can't. No, I'm sorry. Someone may be considering it money, but it's only because they are accepting it as such. We all out there now accept the paper dollar as the way it is because we expect that we will be able to spend it on the things that we need. Now, it's that simple. We know that when we're taking a paycheck, that we can turn that paycheck into cash, and we can take that cash and we can go and spend it on the different things we need out of life. Pay our bills, buy our food, buy clothes, buy toys, buy whatever. You know, that's the only reason you accept it to begin with. But the one thing that we have been living with for a long, long, long time is something called inflation. Inflation, a huge piece of debt. Inflation is a hidden tax on you. All right, let me tell you something, people. And this all goes back down to, once again, making promises out of debt, or making debt out of promises. Because the only way you can do this, really, is to start protecting it with laws. All right, now, in the past, laws like this were never, ever considered lawful. If you go back and you look through the common law, and if you look through old court cases and what have you, you'll always note that up until 120 years ago, that unless some sort of specie was given in exchange on a deal, there really was no deal, believe it or not. You know, if you didn't get a down payment in some sort of species as part of a contract, you in effect had no contract. Right, it's that simple. And the fact of the matter is, we haven't really given anything as far as specie for anything that we have bought over the last, well, since 1973. It's August of 1973 when good old Slick Our tricky Dick Nixon took us completely off of any money standard whatsoever and just, you know, allowed deficit spending to occur and allowed the Federal Reserve to basically begin monetizing debt. And the problem with all this, folks, is what you end up with here today. All right? The sky is the limit. You can always get somebody out there to promise something different. You can always talk people into a into going along with a promise that you are making because they believe in you. Is it a con artist game? Sure. But the only reason the con artist is able to engage in this game is because we have allowed him to do this by monetizing debt right from the get-go. Now, the reason that this has happened, more than anything else, biggest reason out there, and I'm convinced of this, and I am also convinced that this is one reason that the Democrats and the Republicans are going to have to wake up with each other and realize that they are both wrong. Because I hear this from both of them, and it's the premise that they're using here, and that is this, that there is never, ever, ever going to be enough coinage out there to satisfy the needs of commerce. Well, for that, we're going to need to use paper money. Now look, paper money, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's got something behind it that you can go and back, you know, you can go and get your hands on some real substance, you know, some coin that's made out of zinc and copper, or some coin that's made out of nickel, or some coin that's made out of copper and nickel together, or even a coin that's made out of silver, or even a coin that's made out of gold. Any one of these, I will tell you right now, is an actual substance, and it satisfies the measure of being paid. Now, as truth of the matter is, yeah, sure, you're always going to have up and down. You're going to have inflation and deflation when you're using metals for gold or metals for money. Make no mistake about it. But the big lie out there that we would never be able to handle the kind of commerce that we have without using metals for money is so bold-faced on the face of it that it isn't funny. Alright, I want you to stop and think about how things were 100 years ago. Before we got ourselves tied up into this fiat monetary system, which is, you know, driven the prices of everything way through the roof. And you will see what I mean by way through the roof. You all know this. Alright, but it's time that you wake up to it. Now stop and think about the old saying that was called a hard-earned dollar. Now stop and think about that. A hard-earned dollar is what you got paid for working a day's pay. And at the end of the week, to go home with 5 hard-earned dollars in your pocket was actually a pretty damn good thing because you were able to pick up everything that you needed. You could pay for your room. You could pay for your board. You could pay for your meals. You could actually support a small family with it. Make no mistake about it. You could do this. And if you were smart about it and you specialized your labor, you might be able to get yourself up to $10 or $12 a week. And that $10 or $12 a week would go quite a long ways. All right, we're talking about back in the time when you could buy houses for $500 and $600. All right, yeah, now, sorry, cars weren't really around them, but when cars did first came out, okay, although they were not affordable by the workers right away, after a while they were then, weren't they? Henry Ford raised their workers' pay to where they could afford them. It's insanity, but stop and think about it, folks. All right, things were much better off then. There were actually far less people on the dole then. All right, and you witness this. Witness all the things that we built back in those days and all the artwork and whatnot that surrounded them. You know, look at the houses. Look at all the trim that was put onto those houses and all the fancy decoration. That stuff had to get paid for. You don't see that kind of stuff there today because people can't afford it today. But yet the house itself is what? Median price of a house here in Massachusetts is well over $400,000. $400,000. But once again, we are all underneath the impression that, Jesus, how the hell are we ever going to make ends meet without paper money, without being able to do what we do, without having a Federal Reserve, without having this sort of thing? Well, stop and think about it. How much change can you dig out of your couch right now? How much change have you got sitting in that milk jug by your back door or in your bedroom, wherever it is you unload your pocket of change at the end of each day and throw it in there? I know several times I've emptied mine out because I wanted a toy. And out of that, I was able to dump $1,400, $1,500, $1,600 sometimes. Not too hard to imagine if you stop and think about it. You know, many times I just wanted something stupid. I'd dig into that thing and pull out $200 or $300 just to go buy something because it was there. All right? So it is a complete and utter stinking snotty falsehood that we don't have the amount of coinage necessary to get through our lives on a day-to-day basis. It's just complete crap. Each and every one of us can go into his house, dig under his couch, dig in his curtains, in his pockets and in his jar, and probably come up with at least a year's pay for someone working 100 years ago. The result of all of this, folks, has been that hidden tax of inflation. It has been a runaway system where people can just make promises on anything and sell those promises to anybody for anything. So I'm talking about tonight now this legislation that's going through, and as I posted on Facebook there earlier tonight, okay, I am in favor of it. You think, well, geez, that doesn't sound very Republican of you. Well, look, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I am in a mode here, all right, and the mode is the same mode that I was in prior to the election, all right? Long-time listeners to this program will remember that back at some point in time, I believe it was September of 2008, I went on a rant. I said it was about time that everybody just learned the hard way. Go right ahead and elect Barack Hussein Obama. Let him be your president. Because, you know, folks, you're sitting here talking to people, telling them about it. Nah. It's like my buddy Dorn said out there today, you know. Don't worry about other, you know, people stealing good ideas from you. Because if you have a good idea, you're going to have to shove it down their throats. And that's what's coming here, folks. You know, I hate to say this, but, you know, history itself in the past has shown us too many times where people have rejected fiat paper currency and gone over to something real. In the end, it has always been coinage. Okay, we started out with coinage here because of mankind's history of having to deal with fiat paper money and not wanting to do it. All right, they all knew what cheap paper currency was. They all knew the problems with it. There were guys out there like Ben Franklin who thought that they were smart enough to figure ways around it. Ben Franklin was at least smart enough to realize that the amount of currency that was in a system had to at least be a match for the goods and services that were available. All right? And fact of the matter is that making more money in a system at point in time will spur on to more goods and services. But the fact of the matter is it allows too many goods and services to come in at one time. It dilutes your marketplace. It allows the bad stuff to happen. This is why you end up with corporations out there who are stuffed full of all that money. This is why you idiots on the left, you know, just can't seem to get a grip on the fact that there are corporations out there, okay, and you all tell me about the ones that go overseas and wreak havoc everywhere and make these people hate us and do this and they do that and they're evil, you know, they hurt people here, they hurt people overseas, they do nothing but raise hell, they're evil as shit. Look, the only reason these people exist, okay, is because you have accepted that the coinage will never be enough to take care of the world. All right, we'll never be able to take care of what we have on a day-to-day basis, and instead we must use paper, okay, and if that paper is okay to back that paper up with nothing but promises. Well, look, folks, that's the end result of it, and that's why I'm saying that all this legislation that we have going on out there tonight is nothing more than slapping a Band-Aid on a huge, gaping, oozing wound, okay? It is a huge zit. The zit is going to pop. History has shown us, and I'm talking about history all the way back to the time of Moses, has shown us that whenever mankind has gotten into a debt-backed society, it got to a point where the debt was overbearing and the debt could not be paid. All right, even Moses laid out laws way back then, 3000 BC or whenever the hell it was, to cure it. What did Moses do? Hey, every 51 years, you had a jubilee year where everything was paid off. You know, at the end of that, whether it was paid off or not, all debts were done. You were not allowed to enter into any debt. And back then, those debts were basically held with bondage. You weren't going to borrow something from anyone else out there and expect him to, you know, and expect to pay it back. All right, but if you did, the term that you could do this for was 7 years. That was the end of it. That was it. At the end of 7 years, if he didn't pay you back, he didn't get it back. Okay, you might, if it was bad enough, be able to put that person into bondage. But even then, that bondage could not last more than 7 years. And if that 7 years fell short or was cut short by a jubilee year, too bad. You know, stop and think about other people out there. Think about the people who invented paper money to begin with, the Chinese. All right, the Chinese don't wait every 7 years or every 51 years. The Chinese wait 1 year. Okay, the biggest celebration for the Chinese New Year that happens every year, okay, happens because on the Chinese New Year, their debts are basically paid. They're done. They're over with. Now, you don't pay back a Chinaman money that you owe him, you can expect to hear some hell or hear something really crazy coming from him. Oftentimes, what will happen is, you know, you not paying back another Chinaman, it will result in that Chinaman coming over and hanging himself on your porch. Oh, yes, folks, this is a known sort of thing. And the reason that he came over and hung himself is because you caused him to lose face. Okay? And the way you did this was, hey, it was pretty simple if you stop and think about it. Okay? When he lent you money, you fooled him. Okay? That's what happened. And when you fooled him and did not pay him back, you made him look like a fool, which is why he comes over and he hangs himself on your front porch. All right? The fact of the matter is the Chinese settle up everything before that new year, okay, because they will not start another year with outstanding debts. They know damn well that if you're going to run into the next year, all that's going to happen is to have the debts multiply. And that is exactly what we have happening here. We have worked ourselves into a system where debts can do nothing but multiply, and it's because we are using promises for debt. That's the biggest problem here. All right, look, you got to put yourself in this position, regardless of where you are getting your reserve from, whether it is selling securities to the Japanese or selling securities to the Chinese or selling anything, treasury bonds, T-bills, 30-day notes, 30-year notes, all right, whether it's triple E U.S. savings bonds, any way about it, whatever you're using for reserve is all you're going to have in a bank, okay, and if you're going to lend that money out, all right, or use that money as a reserve to print even more money against it and lend it out. You must remember that the lender is expecting to get that money back with interest. If he is the sole originator of that money, where is the interest going to come from? He has to create the money that he's expecting to get back in interest. He's either A, got to go out and sell some more of his own debt, or B, he's got to print money, lend it out to others, and hope that the others trade with each other, and hope that eventually they will trade enough that he will get paid back with interest. But the only possible way he is going to get paid back with interest is if he creates the interest to pay himself back with. This is a fundamental lesson here that people just do not understand about banking, and do not understand about economics. What this ends up causing is just keeps dumping more and more and more and more promises into the system. More and more fiat paper currency, more and more all sorts of stuff. All right, folks, listen, I actually got to take a short break right now. We're at the bottom of the hour. I'm not watching the clock here, but I will be right back. Got to continue on this rant. It's, folks, you're listening to the Politics Cafe, www.herncode.com, the best in Internet talk radio. We'll be right back.
Surprising. Some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities. To support them. Challenge them. Push them a little. and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
That's the sound of your classmate receiving an attachment of you posing in your underwear. Your ex-boyfriend forwarding the picture to his friends. It being sent to your coach. And worst of all, your dad. All because of the time you posted those pictures on your profile. Anything you post online, anyone can see. So think before you post. For more information, visit www.cybertipline.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
Some statistics are superb.
And we're back. You're listening to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in internet talk radio. All right, folks, I'm going on and on here about everything that's happening out there tonight. People say, Jesus, baby, you're for this legislation? Well, yeah, I am, because I'll tell you what, folks, like I said before, I'm in the same mode as I was before the election. It's that time. It is time for things to come to a head and finally be brought to the conclusion. The further we drag this out, the further along that this goes down the line, all right, the worse off we are going to be when it finally does hit. Right now, we still got quite enough infrastructure out there to keep ourselves fed. Got enough infrastructure out there to keep ourselves housed. Got enough infrastructure to keep ourselves clothed. All right, there's still some forms of work out there. Not that there's a whole lot. Don't get wrong. All right, but the country is still in a position where it can recover. You know, make no mistake about it. I'm not exactly talking about canceling all the debt out there, but the point in time comes. Okay, and as history has always shown, all right, that what happens is that the debt ends up going unpaid. Now, whether we fought brutal wars over it, which has happened in some cases, whether it was settled very peacefully, which has happened in other cases, is really going to depend on the mindset of everyone out there. All right, it really is. You know, if you could sit down, look at everything here, and realize that collectively, mankind has made a mistake, and it's time for mankind to collectively fix the mistake. All right, or we will go down and buried in a realm of collectivism, which is where we're at. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that it's going to end up happening this way, all right, despite anything. And I'm sorry for all you folks out there thinking, this guy's out of his goddamn mind. There's no way we're ever going to be able to go back to a coin system. Listen, folks, you are going to end up with a coinage system in the end of this, whether you like it or not, all right? The reason we, like I said before, the reason we started all of this off with a coinage system, okay? And paper was invented. There was such a thing as paper back then. There was paper money around being printed then. Have you ever heard the old term or the old saying, it ain't worth a continental, you know? Ain't worth a Confederate note. Ain't worth it. Ain't worth the greenback. Folks, it has happened in our past. It has happened in the past in mankind's civilization. As I said before, since the dawn of time, it has been going on. We constantly make this exact same mistake. All right? Now, look, I'm not here to point out, I'm not here to say that there are no evil people in the world, but I'm not here to say that everyone who is engaged in financial transactions, not everyone who is engaged in a financial business is an evil person. All right? They're working as honestly as they can under the rules that have been handed to them by their superiors to do the, to make things go. You know, they understand what's necessary out there. They understand the investments that it takes, for commerce to happen. You know, but these investments have got to start coming with a price tag. You know, this is the point. See, the point, the thing that goes on out here now, all right, is you got to understand, all right, you put money into your bank, all right? You go into that bank and you put money in there and you believe that that money is insured. Well, yes, it is insured. BB, take a look out there. Why, we have a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. But even part of that was in this, was in what's going on here tonight. We got people out there who are crying about, expanding once again the FDIC, expanding the Federal Reserve, expanding what's going on by it. But the fact of the matter is you're going to have to keep on doing that. And even if you do that as much as we have been doing it in the past, it's not enough. You know, witness what happened during the savings and loan crisis back in the 80s. It wasn't enough. We had to go back in and bail them all out. Okay, go up above and beyond the reserves that were sitting in the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Look what happened in December of 2008. All right, look what happened again in January of 2009. Look at what they are asking for out there again. All right, you are not going to be able to reform what is going on Wall Street as long as you have the premise at your fingertips that it is okay to use promises for money. Okay, people are going to find ingenious ways to create those promises. They're either going to be making those promises to other people or they're going to be buying those promises from other people. But any way you look at it, as long as that is continued to be allowed and to be allowed as a basis for your monetary currency, you are going to end up with a problem. All right, and the problems have made themselves extant. Let's face it, the problems of inflation. Number one, that is your biggest one. That is the insidious one that has been driving us, to ruin for the last 100 years here. And I don't give a shit what guys like Rush Limbaugh say about, a little bit of inflation is good for the economy. When you can see 2 or 3% inflation and it's being kept down there, that things are moving along, things are cooking. No, I'm sorry, Rush. Alright? We need to stop and take a big, long, basic look at things. All right, I want you to stop and think about something here that I also consider to be sort of a savings account, sort of an investment vehicle, one that I find highly preferable to anything else, and that would be buying stocks. All right, now stop and think about what happens when you buy a stock in a company out there. All right, you are buying a piece of ownership of that company. You are buying a little piece of the profits that it will be making. You are also taking the risk that that company may not make a profit. You are taking a risk that that company may end up going out of business and that piece of stock that you have in your hand become entirely worthless. Well, folks, it's going to have to wake up and realize someday that the exact thing goes on when you go to your local banker and deposit money into his bank. You're going to have to wake up to the fact, okay, that it's not someone else's duty, nor the general public and the general population of America's duty to bail out you and your banker if your banker makes a mistake and loses money. I'm sorry, okay, but the whole idea that you can make an insurance company that's going to be able to cover any of his losses is ludicrous. Because if it all goes down and it all swaps down at once and it all just goes for the big stink, goes tits up, floating in the water, that's, you're done. You're done. It left. The only thing you could do at that point in time, and of course you're going to have to overlook the reasons why that happened, okay, and when you go in and bail him out. But as you are going to have to bail him out with everybody else. All right? And that is what has been going on here, and that is what is entirely wrong. Okay? And the worst part about it is, seeing as how we are using promises for currency, you're not even bailing him out, okay? Your kids are bailing him out. All right, your grandchildren are bailing him out. When your banker makes a bad decision and makes a bad loan and loses money, you have got to understand that you, as a depositor, have become one of those banker's partners. All right, and you are going to end up suffering the exact same fate as that banker. He loses money, you lost money too. Now look, you want to take out insurance against theft, against armed robbery, whatnot? That's another story, okay? These are the kind of things that you can take steps to prevent. All right, and of course, there are always going to be people that work their way around those too. But fact of the matter is, you will not be as exposed, all right, to any kind of problems as bad as you are exposed in the market now. And the exposure in the market here isn't just limited to the amount of money that you have in the bank. The exposure in the market here goes to how much money that you're going to be taxed. Your exposure to the market here right now is to how much your dollar is going to become worthless on a daily basis. Your exposure into the market is how much everything in the market is going to go up in price for you. Your exposure in the market means that, you know, your dollar is not going to go as far. That you are going to be paying a hidden tax of inflation when, you know, that box of cereal goes from $3.99 to $4.99. Or up to $5.99 as a lot of them are today. You know, your exposure goes when your pound of coffee goes, you know, from 16 ounces down to 14 ounces. Or it goes down to where it's at today, at 11 ounces. You want to buy a 1 pound can of coffee, don't have a pound in it anymore. Now you can buy a pound of coffee, or you can buy a can of coffee that's got 2.5 pounds or 2 3/8 pounds. Makes you think you're getting a lot. And yeah, it's a little bit less money than if you were going to buy 3 of those 11 ounces down there. No doubt about it, buying in bulk always saves you money. But stop and think about what happened. How much was a pound of coffee back in the time when we were using copper? Back in the time when we were using silver? Back in the time we were using nickel? All right, this is the point that I am trying to make. There's still plenty of that around. All right, there will always be coffee as long as there are people out there willing to grow that coffee. All right, and as long as they can afford to take what it is that you're paying for it. All right, as long as the rate of exchange is agreeable to both of you and you are walking away with a product that you can both use, it will be fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, but the reason that these things have gone the way they have gone is because we have all insinuated ourselves into each other's business and decided that for some strange reason, and I don't care whether you believe that this is an idea that was forced on us by evil people or whether, you know, it's you know, as I do, it's just a huge mistake. You know, regardless of what it was, regardless of how we got there, regardless of the creature from Jekyll Island, regardless of all the evil corporations that have risen up around us, regardless of everything that Thomas Jefferson telling us having come true, all right, the fact of the matter is it's a two-way street, folks. All right, the devil can only tempt you. You have got to go and commit the sin that the devil is tempting you to commit. All right? And the devil always gives you good reason before you go out there and commit it. And the good reason that we have been stuck on for a long time is the fact that we will never have enough currency in the system in the form of coinage to be able to settle things on a day-to-day basis. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, it's crap. It's complete crap. That's all there is to it. Once again, I urge you, go take the cushions off your couch and go dig in the corners of it and find out how much you come out of there with. All right? Go take a look in your change drawer. Go dig in your car. Go look under the seats of your car. All right? I mean, I know right now, right in the little center console of my car, I got to have at least $20 worth of change in there. Easily. And I'm betting there's probably even more. But the fact of the matter is, that $20 that's sitting in there, that's a month's pay 100 years ago. You know? Back when a cup of coffee was a nickel, you know? Back when a hamburger was a dime, you know, back when steak was 7 cents a pound, you know, stop and think about it, folks. Okay, rates of exchange are things that can be agreed on. It's not a problem. What you've got to come up with, though, okay, in order to stop these sort of problems from happening on Wall Street, in order to stop the government from having to bail out everybody and their uncle, all right, in order to get all of that under control, you got another situation altogether. All right, you have got to get a grip on the monetary system itself. All of these band-aids that we keep slapping on stuff, all of these regulations out there. And please, you lefties, don't call me up tomorrow on the phone or whack me on Facebook saying, "Ah, you just don't want to see regulations. You're just against all regulations." No, not at all. What I'm trying to tell you at this point in time, that all the regulations that you're going to make out there will have absolutely, positively, no more effect than a slight slowdown in the mischief that is going, that is happening out there. But the mischief is happening is because we've left the playground gates open. Okay? The mischief is happening because we've let anybody come onto the playground that wants to come on there, and we let them stay there despite all the mischief that they have. You know? Once you throw somebody off of the playground, you know, as long as the playground gates are still open, you ain't checking their credentials on the way through the door here. You ain't checking to make sure that what they're doing is real and not just making promises on the way in. They're going to come into your playground and they're going to create mischief. Now, you know, what you have is a pass to the playground that ensures that you are going to be playing fair, that you are going to be playing honesty. Pass to the playground will be the one that mankind has been using for thousands and thousands of years. Okay, tiny pieces of metal that have been stamped out, weighed, and marked accordingly. All right, they work, folks. They have always worked. They have always had an intrinsic value. They have always had some value above and beyond their value as a use of money. Okay, which is why they became money to begin with. Alright, now, look, a few details to be worked out. Sure, absolutely, positively. Make no mistake about it. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to reassess, you know, the value of some of the metals that we're going to use. If we're smart, we won't put ourselves onto a gold standard. Let gold float at you know, actual prices. You know, just as an aside here, and I firmly believe, you know, you folks all know that I love our Constitution. I'm really 100% behind it. I always have been. But there is one small glaring mistake in the Constitution that any modern economist should be able to point out and take a look at. All right, you all know out there about the law of supply and demand. You've all heard me talk about it millions of times in the past. All right, the law of supply and demand states that, you know, when the demand for something goes up and or the supply goes down, the price of it, that something, that commodity, that goes up. All right, when the demand goes down and the supply goes up, alright, or if the demand even raised stays the same and the supply of it goes up, it becomes lower in price. Alright, and that is exactly what you have going on with your monetary system out there. Alright, being flooded by more and more and more paper dollars that are being created every time a note of debt has been signed off, is causing too much of it in the marketplace. Always has. Alright, and stop and think about things. I mean, you guys in here in this room that are over 50, or over 55, as I am here, you know, I want you to stop and think about what things were like when you were a kid, you know, when you were 20, 21 years old. You know, if you were going out on a Friday night, you could take a $20 bill with you, and you would have one hell of a time, you know. Think about this. Back then, when you were in your working years, you cashed your paychecks every week, and I don't care if you were making top dollar, you know, as I was. I remember once upon a time reading an article in the paper about how auto mechanics, which I was, were, you know, the kings of the blue-collar workers. We were the top of the line, baby. We were making more money than anybody else. And I got to admit, the money was always good, you know. You could always afford to have new cars, new toys, new whatever. You know, it was never never a big deal. But the fact of the matter is that back then to see a $100 bill was rare. It really was. Well, look at today. You see $100 bills all the time. They're like water. They're paper. It doesn't cost them anything to print those things, fellas. It doesn't cost any more to print a $100 bill than it costs to print a $1 bill. All right? That is the difference. And that's what's going on here. See, and the fact of the matter is here that more and more and more of that paper money there is out there, the less and less and less all of it is worth. And what's really happened here is that it has driven down the value of your actual currency. You know, and that is the killer point. Because if you stop and think about it, folks, okay, the Constitution also says that, you know, the United States government has the right to coin money. Okay? The right to coin money. Okay, it doesn't say it has the right to print money. It doesn't say it has the right to take promises, print them, and turn them into money. It never said that. Okay, it has the right to coin it. And to coin something, you actually have to take a substance, you have to form it, you have to shape it, you have to weigh it, you have to certify it, and then and only then are you allowed to stamp it, you know, with what it is. And, you know, and enter it into the system as money. Way that you can, whether you're going out and buying a good or service for it, or whether you're loaning it to someone or something else, really doesn't matter. And I'll tell you something, folks. Once you get back on a system like this, one of the things that you find out, okay, is that failures get washed by the wayside a whole lot quicker. And people tend to recover from failures a whole lot quicker. All right? And when failures happen, they don't hit everyone so hard as they hit today. Now, folks also that might notice out there that I did not go on a rant about how bad Goldman Sachs is and how bad blah, 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 blah is. Look, folks, you know, especially you guys on the left out there, all right, I know you have all heard me talk about Goldman Sachs in the past. I know I pointed out every single one of you guys that great Rolling Stones article that was done on Goldman Sachs and Company and how they engineered every recession since the Great Depression. You know, how they engineered every boom and bust cycle. Folks, I'm not here to tell you that there won't be people like that in the future. But if you want to limit how those people are going to act, take away their right to monetize debt. That is how you throw them off the playground. Take away their rights to, just make paper money appear out of thin air and sell it to people for real money. That's all you got to do here. You know, in the end, it will be the best products that win the game. In the end, it will be the people performing the best services that win. In the end, it will cause everyone to pursue their own dreams in reality. Okay? You're going to have to go out and get a real job. You're going to have to really do something with it. You know, but you will end up finding out. Then, as a lot of people even find out still to this day, it's why I say we still got time. We can still change this around. This can happen. It's going to happen anyway, folks. I really believe this. I mean, I firmly believe that, you know, whether it happens, you know, violently or it happens peacefully, you know, it's going to be completely up to us. But I believe that the time has come. It's happening. And I mean, all the signs are pointing to this. You know, the fact that they are now once again trying to slap a huge Band-Aid on Wall Street, and the fact that you got people in there like Ron Paul who are screaming at the top of their lungs about this, the fact that you got 29 senators and over 200 congressmen signed on to a bill that wants to audit the Federal Reserve. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, look, it's you know, we got people that are on top of this that are at least giving it a shot. But the fact that it is coming to a head should also be a clue to you here. That's why they're in on this. That's why you got guys like Ron Paul and others out there, you know, trying to warn you of the consequences, trying to do something about it. Because, folks, you know, these people are all looking at history. They've all seen what's happened before. You know, they can look right at the recent past and look at what happened to the Weimar Republic. You know, look what happened in Zimbabwe. Look what happened in Italy once upon a time. You know, look at what happened whenever anybody tried to do this. Look at our own past. All right, look what happened when they tried to print continental dollars after the Revolutionary War. You know, look what happened when they printed those greenback dollars after the Civil War. All right, they've always needed that money to fight wars. Somehow or another, we're probably going to need something in the future to fight wars. I will not dispute that point. But the point of the matter is here, that the reason that all these evil corporations that go around the world exist, the reason that you have got such a mess out there in your financial system today, all right, is because we have opened the door to it and we have allowed it. All you got to do is just say no, folks. That's really what it's all about. You know, and the point in time will come when they say no. Take a look what happened in Argentina 35 years ago, 40 years ago. Look what happened in Uruguay. All right, people there just got sick and tired of it, and what they did was just went on a general strike. You know, that time may come in this country right here, folks. You know, if the day comes when you turn around and wake up and say, damn it, this is just not worth what I'm working for because I cannot buy with the things that I need with what you're paying me, all right, you're not going to go to work anymore. If it gets too bad and the government turns around and tells you, hey, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay more taxes. And yes, I know about the commission that got started today. I'm waiting to see what this commission's findings are before I get into them on this program. But, folks, fact of the matter is, you know, this has always happened in the past. You know, it's going to continue to happen in the future. As long as mankind can be fooled into thinking that he can print money out of thin air and use it for currency, all right, it's going to go on. All right? Well, what else can I say about it, folks? Jesus, I had so much other stuff to talk about tonight. One thing I did want to get to here real quick before the end of the show. And this by Jesse Holland, also off of the AP tonight. The Supreme Court will decide whether free speech rights are more important than helping parents keep violent material away from children. The justices agreed today to consider reinstating California's ban on the sale or rental of violent video games to minors, a law the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco threw out last year on grounds that it violated minors' constitutional rights. Now, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who signed the law in 2005, said he was pleased the High Court would review the appeals court decision. He said, "We have a responsibility to our kids and our communities to protect against the effect of games that depict ultra-violent actions, just as we already do with movies." However, the judge who wrote the decision overturning the law said at the time there was no research showing a connection between violent games and psychological harm to young people. The Supreme Court's decision to hear the case comes only a week after the High Court voted overwhelmingly to strike down a federal law banning videos showing animal cruelty. The California case poses similar free speech concerns, although the state law is aimed at protecting children, raising an additional issue. California's law would have prohibited the sale of rental or violent games, those that include killing, maiming, dismembering, or sexually assaulting an immature human being, blah, 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 blah. This goes on here. All right, and the rest of this really doesn't matter what it's all about. All right, folks, what is going on here, once again, is the, are the courts trying to legislate? All right, now look, this is legislation that actually made its way into the court, and the court struck it down, which the court has every single right to do. All right, now, they're going back here to see whether or not the Supreme Court, is going to go in and see whether or not California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and the rest of them out there have the right to limit, a product out there. Have the right to go into the marketplace and look at something, and they're trying to get this around free speech, although I kind of don't see that where free speech is covering this. But it's I really am looking at this here as the Fed may be getting too much into the way of the federal government. Something about this, folks, that just plain stinks. Look, it's a law that has been proven to be unconstitutional by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, it's the same Ninth Circuit that has given us many, many famous rulings in the past here. Don't get me wrong here, okay? Not that I'm all of a sudden sticking up for the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. But the fact of the matter is, look, they have a right to knock down laws. But to turn around and reinstate a law, I don't know. That one, I don't know. I think that that's going to have to be up to the legislature of that state at this point in time. Somehow or another, I just can't seem to get a grip around the federal government being able to tell a state what laws it can and what laws it cannot do. All right? Up to a point. I mean, at least at any rate, I would have to hear the constitutional arguments behind all this. Actually, I can't wait to see what the decision is going to be when they come down here, and I can't wait to read this decision. Somehow or another, it just seems to me, look, this isn't like a Second Amendment thing, where the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. I think that's a toughie right there. This one here is a toughie. That Second Amendment right, obviously everybody got a Second Amendment right as a U.S. citizen, okay? Your state can't overturn that law. Your state can't make laws in that area. But I'm dying to see what the constitutionality is behind what they're doing right here. All right, folks, with that, we've hit the top of the hour here tonight. I've ran it on and on for too long. I want to thank everybody for coming in tonight. Once again, the tables are getting piled high with the chairs. The lights are getting dim. The maitre d' is running around cleaning up. Running a little slow tonight, or at least he's moving a little fast and doesn't quite seem to be where he was. I don't know, maybe business picked up here a little tonight. I'll have to check the receipts later on. But at any rate, as always, it's time to close up the cafe, but the bar will be open for a while. So belly up to the bar, buy a drink, first round's always on me. But folks, my radio audience out there, and all you fine folks over at Facebook tuned in tonight, thank you very, very much for coming in. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. And thanks once again, folks, for coming and listening to the Politics Cafe at www.hernco.com, the best in Internet talk radio. Good night, folks.
Yeah, great show, Mark. Another great show.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. I'm just, I'm going crazy out here listening to all the